This week on New Dad Gaming, one dad gives his exhilarating take on a recent Capcom Cup, and the dads run down the best games to gift for kids and fathers for this holiday season. For the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week, we meet Booming Booms with a setup worth moving continents for. And be ready for a twist that may virtually reshape your reality. All on New Dad Gaming. The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 2-year-old and a 3-month-old. I had to think about that for a second. Trying to remember the ages. It's like, I was tumbling towards it. I'm like, oh God, I got to remember before I get to the end of the sentence.
It's already happening.
2 and 3.
You're going down. And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Oh, screw these months, man. Like, I've gotten it wrong. Like, they're like, how old is he? 2, not 3.
You know what? It gets worse as they get older because you try to remember what they did during the months when they were born. And you're like, I don't know. Is he like 8 months at that time? Or, well, everything just defaults to a year. Like, oh, yeah. He did that at 1 or 2, maybe.
He did that as a baby.
Yeah.
He was but a child.
He couldn't talk. I make up his own history for him.
So, sailing the 7 seas, my child was brought over.
The sea was angry that day, my friends.
It was a calm before the storm. It was quiet. Too quiet. And you know how kids take care of quiet. The end. Let's launch into it. Every week we like to award a gaming dad victory of the week. So this goes out to exemplary fathers out there who are doing great things with gaming or bringing into their playing with their kids or any number of things. So we like to give a nod and a celebration of fathers who are gaming and doing it so well. This week's Gaming Dad victory goes to Reddit user Booming Booms for a beautiful gaming setup that he put together for his kid. And the title of the post itself was so great. My son is going to flip out of his mind when he comes home after school today. I love being a dad. Which is mega.
It's perfect.
Excellent title. So
yes,
as is becoming the tradition, could you please describe the photo we are looking at?
So with the title, I'm flipping out because what we see is a projector setup that is huge with Mario Kart 8 starting up right on the screen there, which is insane. That would be so much fun. I'm just thinking Mario Kart in general, multiplayer at that size on a huge projector, and this kid doesn't know about it, he is going to flip out. Like,
that's one of my first thoughts. I'm just like, put yourself, like, walk me through young Jeff when he walks through the door to see that his dad has created this massive projector setup with Mario Kart.
Do you know what? Young Jeff would just drop his bag at the door, right? Come running over, you know. A, be excited about not doing any homework or anything right away, and B, just sitting down to this huge giant screen of probably one of my favorite games that I've played as a kid, if Mario Kart is anything, and just to get ready to go and play with my dad or my brother or whatever, that would be awesome. That would be like, is it my birthday? Is Christmas coming early? I don't get it. You know, what's going on? This is amazing.
Yeah,
so
it's like, what? The dog ran away? Yeah, whatever. Mario Kart.
Mario Kart. I don't care. Blue shells.
Blue shells.
Yeah, no, this is great. This is, I totally want an after picture or like the capture of the moment when the kid comes through the door, or even audio of like, what?
Oh, the video reaction would be fantastic. The dad is listening. If you manage to capture anything, please do let us know, because like that is such a killer setup and a perfect game for it. And apparently the projector that he went with has like incredibly low latency, so it might as well just be a big screen TV. Like, it's incredibly fast.
Yeah. Mm, bravo is what I'm saying. Like, now I want to kind of go over and use that big screen.
Yeah, that's true. We can't really award it without testing the setup ourselves. How do we know it's not Photoshopped, you know?
That's right.
New dad road trip. Although, as I believe this particular dad is in Europe. So
yeah, it looks like it.
It's going to be quite the road trip.
You know what? I think we have the show pay for it, and we go over and we test it out. We do an international podcast.
That has so many wins across the board. But most importantly, the win here definitely goes to the user Booming Booms for the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. Incredible setup. Love the excitement around being a father as well. So hats off. Bravo. Congratulations.
Woo!
Yeah, that's definitely a clapping one. And I'll go back to my little monitor now.
Oh, it's so sad. Yeah.
Now, if you yourself are a gaming dad and you have a story to share, if you know of a gaming dad with a story, please do reach out to us. We'd like to do this weekly and would love to hear from you and continue these great stories of gaming dads. So, speaking of fatherhood, Jeff, how was your week in fatherhood?
Fatherhood was not bad at all. Both kids are, well, they're practicing for their Christmas concerts, so... singing, and it's great to know that the jingle bells, you know, like the kid version where you say alternate lines, that's lived on.
That survived
generation. Yeah, that has survived.
Robin lays an egg still.
Robin lays an egg, and Joker's peeing on the wall.
Okay, so that version I don't think I've heard. He pees on the wall.
Oh. Yeah.
It's, okay, well, let me give you mine. It's like Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg, the Batmobile lost a wheel, and the Joker got Joker away.
Ran away. Yeah. This one is, now it's not going to be in my brain. It's Batman's in the kitchen, Robin's in the hall, and something, and Joker's in the bathroom peeing on the wall.
Was that a musical accompaniment I just heard in the background?
Yeah, because I couldn't figure it out, but my wife knows it right off the top, so.
Oh, that's perfect.
And now he's singing upstairs, so there you go. Anyway, there have been alternate versions of Christmas songs that have lived on, even Rudolph. So my youngest is definitely not doing those yet. I think if he gets a handle on those lyrics, he'll be kicked out of that school, but... the older one, they all have fun with it, so they know when to turn it on and turn it off. So that's been the week of singing. So we're all prepared for that. It should be fun. But that's concerts, it for
those concerts. Like, have you been? Like, you must have been to a couple of them now. Like, what's your take on them? Like, it seemed. Are you enjoying it? Is it monotonous? Like, just awful, gross singing, and like you're dragged to it. Like, what's experience with them so far?
See, as a kid,
a rite of passage of fatherhood.
Yeah, that's right. When I was a kid, I remember them being so long, and then it was after school at night. These things are during the day, and really from either JK or grade 2 with my kids, it's really just like 15 minutes, and then you're kind of done. And then you go back to their classroom, and they have cookies or whatever, and they're kind of telling you to take your kid home and not leave them here because the day's almost done. So it's really more about getting there. They're happy that you're there, but some of the parents are like push come to shove, and like they need the front row, and they're setting up their tripods. We had one guy in the first year that we went set up a tripod and a video camera like right in the front row, and so all these parents are, you're seated behind them, and the kids are up front, and they're not very tall. There's no like real stage, so you're trying to see them and see around these cameras, and everyone's got their cell phones up. It's a little bit different experience. Like, I know, like, even we captured the moment, but you kind of want to capture it and then take yourself, like, put the cell phone down for a bit and then, you know, actually focus on what's going on. But it's the people with beefed up DSLRs that are up there snapping pictures.
Yeah, like the $20,000 video setup for the clip you'll probably never watch again.
No. Well, yeah, like at this point, I actually want like the school just to volunteer a video and just pass it around on, you know, Facebook or Google Drive and just be like, here you go. Don't worry about recording it.
Oh, just, man, you should make that suggestion. That is genius.
Yeah, just look at your kid. You know, it's awesome. You'll get a video of it later. Perfect.
Because, like, there's the impetus. Like, I get it because I'm no better. I have to admit to it. Like he had a little thing. He was crying the whole time, but I still tried to get a couple snaps and a couple videos of it. Yeah. So it's not a high and mighty thing, but the thought that, man, if they had just said like this, every time everyone comes in, hey, look, we have a professional setup here. You do not need to take any video. We will send it to you.
Exactly.
Oh, that would be perfect.
I think that would alleviate a lot of it. Just from a parent's perspective, I don't want to miss that moment either, and I want him to be able to view it later if he pleases. So yeah, we've done it as well, but if they did it, it'd be so much better. And if they expanded parking, because that's another battle in itself to try and get a parking spot at a school that already has no spots because all the teachers are there. So that should be fun.
Yeah, that's a great way to get everybody in the holiday spirit. Swearing, swearing at each other.
Enjoy that minus 20 out there.
Oh, that is wild. But like I said, it's a rite of passage, like going to Laos, kids singing known songs poorly.
Yep.
But they're so cute. Yeah.
That was it for me. How about you?
Yeah, so on this side, in some ways, the follow-up on the mustard's explosion story from last week is that the baby seems to be on some sort of cycle where, like, he's going a couple days without pooping at a time.
Oh, okay.
And it just represents, like, a ticking time bomb, right? Because it means that he's saving it up. And it means he is loaded to the gills and ready to go at any moment. So it's like, okay, I have to go grocery shopping. Oh God, this kid is full. And if he, like, do I just carry him around in a plastic bag? Like, what is the, what's the protocol here? Yeah. So it is not a opportune cycle that he is on in that way.
Do you want to take the kid out today? No. It's about that time.
It could happen any moment. Don't you understand? Oh, but happy and healthy otherwise. The other one, it's just, you expect there to be, you think you know the bounds of his energy, and it just goes further. Like, because today it was, he was at school for a bit, like a daycare, running around. He had swimming lessons. He has made some friends kind of nearby, so he was just sprinting and like he flat out running for the better part of like an hour and a half after swimming, after not napping, after going to school. And it's like, between all of this, you are going to be tired.
Right.
He was not tired. Not in the slightest. Like, not even close. He
feeds off it.
Oh, it's like, is he leeching caffeine from me when I hold him? Like, is it a superpower? What's Superman's nemesis? The parasite or something? Who, like, sucks energy out of
Superman? Yeah.
That's got to be it. I don't get it.
You got to find his kryptonite.
Yeah. Well, that's probably TV, but then that's...
That's a different kind.
Yeah, that's not... That's a whole different bad avenue to go down. But, oh, it is amazing and shocking. I guess, if anything, it's going to keep me in shape. Because the constant running around, I got to be on top of my game. I got to start taking steroids or something. Like, I need an edge.
Need his energy level.
Oh, man, if I had... I don't know. I would conquer the world if I had that much energy. My goodness.
Right? I think they should bottle it. There's got to be a way.
Yeah, he needs less. I need a lot more. Like, the balance is so skewed. It's not right. But otherwise, they're doing great, though. Everyone's happy and healthy, so couldn't be more pleased about that. So, nice. Gaming perspective, though, did you find any time for gaming this week?
Well, interesting in gaming, I received a steering wheel from PlayStation.
Do tell this story.
There was a I Tried PSVR contest, and
did you like PSVR?
A little bit. I think I had a little taste of it, and then someone yanked it out of my hands a while ago. So no, it was a good experience. All you had to do was submit a photo or a comment on their page, and it turns out that week I won, and the weekly prize was Gran Turismo Sport and a steering wheel that is far too good for what I would use it for. This thing is like the gold standard of steering wheels. It was, it's like weighted 1080 degree rotation of the steering wheel, vibration.
Is it force feedback? Like when you're taking
force
turns?
Force feedback, like, oh, like so cool. Minuscule, like it had a level. So it was so, you'd feel minute details in the game, especially with a game like Gran Turismo that's so detailed in itself. It had like a brushless motor, so it never like, it would never give up, so the steering wheel would never stick. It had pedals that were full-size pedals.
Whoa.
And weighted. This thing weighed like 35 pounds, so it was insane.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you. That's fantastic.
Yeah, like I received it. I don't know. I was looking at it and like, wow, that is an expensive wheel. So what I did next was that I sold it and got myself a PSVR.
Wait, are you serious?
I'm serious.
You got the old...
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this wheel's amazing. I can't wait to sell it. Oh, my God. I
was debating about it for many days. I'm like, well, like, I could see myself using it for maybe a couple weeks, and then it kind of collecting dust. And, you know, I'm not going back to it too much. There's only a certain amount of games for it. I really want the PSVR. I think everybody knows that by now. So there is a massive deal on one. Traded it in or sold it to some guy. He gladly paid for it right before Christmas. I took that cash right over PSVR. So I'm ready. I'm in the game.
That is man, you gave me no indications of that. You have not posted on Facebook. You didn't give me any messages.
No.
Like, were you trying to surprise me specifically? Because that is,
I
or you just been lost in virtue.
Just real. No, I got it just today, so there hasn't been much time, but I did want your real reaction to that. Where,
my God, that is on. Sneaky dog, you are in the game. That is fantastic.
Yeah,
good move. Because I'll say, like, what was kind of interesting about it is, like, I tried PSVR, a contest about VR, and then they award you a steering wheel, and it's like, okay,
yeah,
the steering wheel is great. Like, so, like, if that came to me, like, if you already had the PSVR unit,
right?
Like, that's a whole nother level. That'd be just mind-blowing.
Right.
But if you don't, it's like, you know, I tried the PSVR, and that was great.
Yeah, you really sold me on that. I didn't try the steering wheel, but you kind of want the PSVR.
And the steering wheel would go great with some PSVR that I don't have.
You know, it would be good, that PSVR with everything in it, and I could get that and just experiencing it in an actual car instead of trying to drive one with the steering wheel 2D.
That is a Christmas miracle. That is absolutely genius. Man, good. Good gaming dad victory of the week.
I am excited. I am hyped. And I am glad to the person that bought the wheel. Kudos to you, because that was a lot of money, and now it's in PSVR.
Yeah, well, those wheels are. I'm not surprised that you got were able to get the value from it, because those, it's a whole different level of. I have known some folks before that the only thing they would do with these type of simulations and the attention to detail around getting the actual driving setup perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Is incredible. Like it's so much about the simulation. So this wheel, given that it's top notch, I'm not surprised at all. You're able to do it, but I did not. I don't know why I wouldn't think of that, because that's beautiful.
Man, yeah,
we are gonna have to play some dad VR stuff now.
I'm going to. I'll tell you that. The only thing that it doesn't come with are the Move controllers. So I'm on the lookout for that maybe during Christmas.
I am
ready.
Possibly online too. But it came with the camera.
Came with the camera and the set. It's the older model. You know how they have the newer model with the HDMI pass-through?
Bad.
So I didn't go for that. But it does come with another copy of Gran Turismo, which I did get with the wheel. So now I have an extra copy of Gran Turismo that nice. I might sell back and get some Move controllers.
Nice. Man, wheeling and dealing. Dad's,
wheeling and dealing.
Dad's
like
on
that.
The move.
Look at that.
Look at this. My God, we're gonna have a whole VR episode now, or just a second podcast. Dad's playing VR. Congrats,
we'll just record
man.
In VR.
So happy you're in the club.
Yes, man. Good to be here.
Just like, Oh, I'm still just in shock. That's so cool. That's so perfect.
So that's gonna be my gaming for the next little while. That is the ultimate for me. So
you have to do like another hashtag toward them. Like, I tried PSVR. I got your wheel. I sold your wheel. I got PSVR now.
PSVR. I tried it again, and now I'm in it.
It's much better for ownership. I'll tell you one thing to do even tonight, because a segue into my gaming. Yep. The Last Guardian demo came out in VR.
Yes, I saw that, and I am excited.
It's very short, incredibly short. So I'd say even after the podcast, you can hop through it. Mm-hmm. At first, the best part is I was looking at first, and it was kind of meh. Wasn't thinking too much. It's like, okay, this is kind of interesting. But then the creature comes down, the guardian.
Yep.
And the scale, and he's so much like right in your face.
Yeah. Oh,
and there's a few other moments too that in its entirety, more than anything, you can kind of see the promise of it. But there's a few moments with either like a jump or a movement or something, and it's breathtaking. Like it.
Really?
Yeah, it's free, small download. I think it's less than 2 gigs. Take nice. You like 20 minutes to go through it. Last, you know, 10 minutes. It's very small.
Yeah.
But do it. Definitely give that a run through.
Good taste. I like it. I'm ready.
So I'm curious if they're just floating it out there to see the interest level.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's just like a proof of concept kind of thing. And then if they see the interest, they'll go for it. Like, imagine it probably costs them a lot of resources to... Like a game like that, I could see is they kind of have to rethink some situations in VR. Because you won't have the same perspective, right? Whereas a racing game, you're kind of just putting the camera on the helmet of the guy in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the puzzle games are a little bit more difficult to maneuver, but who knows? Maybe they'll.
Yeah, I think. I think all the puzzles would work. Like you said, it'd just be coming at it from a different angle. So I think they'd be working within the same game at least. Yeah. Like the levels are built, the puzzles are built. It's just how do you enable this through VR?
Yeah.
That's great. I'm all for this though. I mean, if studios want to put out tiny demos and then like float it around to see how much they can sell,
Well, now I'm on board.
Yeah. Now that you're part of the club, you're all about it.
You know, the other one is Wipeout that they're releasing right
now. That's right.
VR. That's going to be insane.
That feels like a bit much. Like, I had a hard time keeping up outside of VR. I can't imagine being inside that ship.
Just be a blur. It'd be like, you know, when they go to warp in a space show, and just like all the stars bleed around you and you go nuts.
I'd have a hard time, I think, keeping up. Yeah. Otherwise, it was really interesting. So they had the previous week and just passed, they had the Capcom Cup 2017.
Oh, right.
So it was massive. The top prize was $250,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I did not think it was like that.
Right? Like, it is a huge cup. And like, besides that, what was interesting was I was interested in it, right? Like, it's like, I would like to kind of see this, but not really call it super drawn. It's like, I wasn't going to go out of my way, but then they were offering up to 20,000 worth of fight money. So that's in-game currency for Street Fighter. So you can buy characters and things like that. And I thought, oh, that'd actually be great, because I might be able to buy an extra character without having to spend real money. So whatever. And so they had quests. So log in the first day, you know, tweet something, do these things, and you get this fight money.
Okay.
While there, I caught some of the matches, and it's like, this is really entertaining.
Okay,
and
cool.
There were some secondary ones, and I was hooked, honestly. Like, it was so fascinating. It was so entertaining to watch this.
Really?
And the end of it was just huge. Like, it was phenomenal. So there was, so who took it was, it's an 18-year-old from the Dominican Republic named Mena RD. Well, at least that's his gamer name.
Okay.
So Mena RD, which I thought they kept pronouncing it that way. I thought it was supposed to be Menard, but.
Oh, they're just screwing it up.
Okay, so it's Mena RD. So he's an 18-year-old, 18 years old.
That's crazy.
Just showed up this year, basically. From a country that doesn't have much of a Street Fighter scene, as opposed to, let's say, Japan or even the US. And he goes against Takedo, who is a utterly seasoned veteran. In the final match, so Mena RD had gone to the loser bracket to to get out of the tournament, you have to go first into the loser bracket and then get beaten a few more times, then you're out. Tokido hadn't. So the setup was that in order to win, Mena RD would have to win two entire sets.
Oh my god.
Which is three games out of five.
Yeah.
Right? So he was going to have to win, and each game is two matches.
Holy.
Yeah, so it's a lot, right? So he had massive... So this 18-year-old in arguably one of his first, like, the first major tournament was going against this absolute veteran, and he's going to have to basically double win everything. Yeah. So, and he did it. And he did it with what was considered a medium to low tier character. Now, there's a character in the game, Birdie, who everybody else slept on. They're like, oh, he's not that great. Like, your top tier guys are the Dictator, Akuma, Laura, like Zangief, whatever. Yeah. But this guy can't. And so he's using this guy that everyone else kind of writ off. Blast through it. 18-year-old took the entire thing. $250,000.
That is crazy.
So, man, I was hooked. Have you had any experiences with esports where you've been drawn in and wanted to watch it? Have you watched any?
I used to watch some of the Counter-Strike stuff, because actually that was kind of cool to see their different strategies and how they approach the map. Because I used to play a lot of Counter-Strike, and it's funny how that. Those same maps are still there. So everybody the plays
game
Dust.
The same graphics, the same game.
Yeah, like basically, right? So I know when I was playing, I had no strategy compared to these guys. They go in, they're communicating, they're, you know, doing tactics that are basically out in the real world fields, like army strategies. Like, it was pretty nuts. So again, like you said, it was interesting just to see that kind of aspect to gaming, where it was, you're kind of drawn to what they're doing and how competitive it can get, and minute details. Like, they have guys that like basically count frames so that they know, you know, when to pin their shot or whatever. So it is really like a professional expert sport, like esport, like you said.
Yeah, these, like, to get to that level, like, it's really, I mean, back to the Street Fighter 1, like, it's all down to the frame data. You throw this punch, there's like three frames by which you can counter it. Okay. And Counter-Strike, right? That's just the math and the memorization, like, one of the best things I heard, and I think it probably accounts for most esports, but somebody put it much more to a chess game. The skill to be able to do a combo, do a punch, Counter-Strike, knowing which guns are best, like how to reload fast, like, or and aim well. Yeah. Like that's the table stakes, right? And that basically just lets you step up to the board of chess, and the rest of it is entirely strategy. So as much as, you know, you might think that even with Counter-Strike, like, that's a super action-oriented pew-pew shoot-em-up thing.
Yeah.
Everybody is at such a level that it's much more about the strategy, about the chess moves, right? Like, the overarching game thing. It's not really about who can shoot the best, because everybody can shoot amazing.
Right.
Yeah. You have to, if you can even think of playing. The rest of it's all strategy and how you go about it. And same even with fighting games, right? Where it's not, can you do a combo? Because everybody can. It's much more about reading your opponent, kind of knowing what they're going to do.
Yeah. That's neat. That's a good kind of analogy to it. So
I appreciate that one. So So congrats to that. Like, it was fantastic. It was an online streamed event. They did it really well. The quest system was cool. Like I said, I got 20,000 worth of in-game fight money. So, like, I'm at a point now I can actually buy two characters, which actually I want to get back to in a second. The thing I want to mention, so at the end of it, they had a massive reveal for the new characters of season 3, which we've kind of mentioned before.
Okay.
So they have Sakura, Blanca, Falke. I'm probably mispronouncing some of these.
Blanca? They didn't have Blanca in there yet?
They didn't have Blanca, and boom, he showed up. Total surprise. Jeez. Everybody was expecting Sakura. Okay. And they also announced, I'll get through it. So Sakura, Blanca, Falke, Cody. Cody's like the old jail guy from Street Fighter 3.
Yep.
Except now he looks like he's the mayor of a town. Like, he's all, like, dapper. It looks awesome.
Mr. Topman hat.
A character named G.
Okay.
And Sagat, which...
Oh.
Everybody knew Sagat was coming. Yep. Blanca and Cody were, like, the huge surprises. And G is absolutely fascinating. So he's this big, burly dude. He's, like, a little bit on the hairy side, this huge beard. Looks a little bit like Abe Lincoln. And the name is just G. What was interesting is in the story mode for a new character from season 2, Ed, who was part of Shadowloo, the bad guys, he's seen walking out with a squad of bad people, and one of them is a gorilla.
Hmm.
Now, this G guy looks exactly like a character from Bloody Roar.
Oh.
Do you remember that game from original PlayStation?
Yeah.
Freaking amazing.
Posters for it, too. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that whole game was fantastic. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, transform into the various animals. You have different moveset. Like, that game was a blast.
Yeah.
So, G, like, all signs are pointing to the fact that this is the same guy from Bloody Roar. He's a gorilla, is like the animal they turns into, because, of course, like, so in the other story, right?
Right.
So all this sleuthing going on. It's like, oh my god, is this some Bloody Roar? Is it going to be a remake of Bloody Roar?
Yeah.
Is can he transform? Like, what does this mean? Everybody's exploding.
Yeah, no, that would be interesting if they remade that, because that has been a while.
I think it's ripe, man. Like that, man, that game was such a blast, and like fighting games seem to be picking up some momentum.
So, yeah, and if you can kind of spin it as like a season to season kind of deal, might get more life out of that stuff too. So that'd be interesting. I'd look into a new Bloody Roar game for sure.
Yeah, so I'll keep you abreast as that goes. But so season 2, they had kept everybody hidden until they were revealed. This time they just let everybody know, okay, here's everyone. Fans are loving it. I think the Capcom Cup itself was really exciting. So, you know, cheers to Capcom. Actually, okay, that reminds me about the money, right? Well, the thing, so we've discussed like the seasons past, like the cost of this game and like how you have to keep buying characters with real money. The thing that, the numbers I hadn't put together that I found a post about this, that I found utterly fascinating, is the fact that you could pretty much grind the game reasonably to just buy all the characters with game money.
Okay.
So by the
time... How much grinding?
It's not that bad, and it's actually enjoyable stuff. Like, it's not like MMO-style grinding or RPG-style grinding where you're... going through and it's doing the same repetitive thing for like hours on end. This is, you have to go through the character's story mode, which is like three or four chapters, and it's honestly interesting. Like, it's comic book style, like story with voice acted and everything.
Okay.
You have to go through a couple rounds of trials, which is the first time on easy, there's 10 people you have to beat. Second time, you have to beat 30 people.
Okay.
So it's challenging, but it's fun and kind of interesting.
Yeah,
and at that point you pretty much have the one I just mentioned is called survival. So survive 10 guys, event 30, and the last one is trials, where it's like, okay, do this combo. If you do that with every character you start with, you have enough fight money to buy the next season of characters.
So it's making you complete the game with everybody to buy the next season. Now that's reasonable to me.
Oh, for sure. Like, that feels fantastic. Like, that's something I'd kind of want to do anyways, because it's fun.
Yeah.
And then by the time you do the next season of characters, between that new money and the money left over from the first round of stuff that you did, you have enough for the next season. So you can very reasonably just get all characters just by playing the game.
Right.
I thought that, like, man, like... I wanted to bring that up because, like, I almost felt like I came off negative about them asking for money, so much money every season.
Right.
And not too much, because, like, they got to keep the lights on, and they weren't being overly greedy with it. It was just still disappointing in a sense, because, like, man, it'd be fun to play with them. But cheers to them, and the fact that they've built in this in-game system where it's like, you play everything and everybody, you can buy everyone. Not a dime spent.
It's interesting that Sony took is this a recent post where somebody took this long to kind of figure that out? Like, hey, you know what? If you just played everybody, you'd have enough.
I bet it's come up much before. I just never had thought to look at it, or it never come to my attention.
Well, it's never been in like the media of it where, you know, they're, you know, here's another season that you have to buy and all these characters that you have to pay for, where it would be easier to say, hey, if you just completed the first part of the game, you can get these things.
Yeah, I'm curious how many people know about it, because like the when a new season comes out, it's like, are you going to buy it? No one ever says like, yay, I can use my fight money to buy
these exactly
people.
I've never heard of that. So
so I'm not exactly sure what the disconnect is, but man, like, cheers. Like, that feels like a very old school way to approach it.
Yeah,
and I think otherwise a lot of the other stuff is like the costumes and everything are where they really ding you, or people who just don't want to go through the hassle and do all that work, or somebody who wants to have people dressed up as Santa. Okay, like, here, give us money. Oh, that. But onto a topic we decided to discuss, and the holiday season is fast approaching. Christmas is coming up here, or whatever holiday you do celebrate. And accordingly, as gaming dads, the opportunity to purchase and to supply perhaps a game for yourself, but more importantly for the kids, arises.
Yep.
So it got us to thinking, so okay, what are some of the best dad games you can buy? And in fact, we'll be doing a whole nother episode on the best dad games of 2017. But from a Christmas purchasing, maybe what you would buy? And more importantly, what are some games you'd buy for the kids?
Right.
Now so I'll put it to you, Jeff, actually. Did you want to talk the dad games first or the kid games?
I can do the dad games. Could start there.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So I am sadly not at the point yet where I can buy my kids games. The 2-year-old would not understand.
He's like, sure. And he's like, quiet you. This is excellent for Hearthstone.
Don't you love fighting games, son? Don't you love Destiny 2, son? Little baby would probably be okay with it. Like, oh, dad.
Yeah, colors.
He loves it. It's great. So from an outside opinion, I'm more interested in your opinion, being given the fact that you can actually buy games for your kids. But looking through the list, what kind of definitely stuck out for me was that how Nintendo seems to run away with it as far as a list of it, with a few ones outside. Let me rattle these off, and then I'd prefer you just kind of take it away. But I was thinking Super Mario Odyssey.
Definitely.
Mario Kart 8.
Oh, my, yep. And a projector.
Yeah, only if you have a projector. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking the Super Nintendo Mini.
Yes, that could be. The only problem with that is some of those games are like extremely difficult.
No, that's true. That's like, because, you know, these soft kids that can't play games. Like
yeah, games. You only get 3 lives. What? But no, there are some good games on there, like Mario Kart and some others that. Super Metroid, we've been playing a lot. So.
Oh, nice. So we have Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon.
Yep, definitely.
So that best part is like looking at you like, man, Nintendo just owns the space.
They do. They really do. They know how to program for families.
Yeah. In other words, I was seeing it as possibly Sonic Mania.
Yeah, that could be maybe a little bit older.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I could see my younger son just kind of running through it and dying quickly but not caring. Do you know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't progress in the games per se, but they'd have fun with it.
Okay. I mean, I saw Lego Marvel Super Heroes, like, generally, obviously, any Lego game, really. Yeah. Now, I have Stardew Valley. I don't think that's necessarily new this year, but I know it came out on the Switch new. Was Stardew Valley beginning of this year? Or last year?
I think it might have been this year. God, now it's such a blur.
Right?
It might have been in the early parts of this year, maybe. Yeah,
but Stardew Valley seemed like it. And there's one that I saw, Tricky Towers, which I kind of mentioned because I seem to recall you talking about it.
Yep, Tricky Towers is a good one too. It's kind of like a Tetris-like puzzle game.
Fun. Stacking. Okay, so from the outside opinion, that's what I saw. So as the actual dad who could buy games for his kids, walk me through your thinking.
You know what? I think you did pretty well, because most of those games are on
Dad
my
victory.
List. It's definitely all the Marios. I would even add Super Mario Maker.
Oh, right. List. Yeah, yeah. Especially with the creativity, that it would be cool.
Yeah. Every year, Minecraft. Like every year. It doesn't matter what
always
it is.
Always Minecraft.
If it's the story mode, whatever. Always Minecraft. The kids have a blast of it. But I had most of the games that you mentioned. I also had a couple others that might have been a little bit older. So Ratchet and Clank from 2016. Any of the Rayman games are usually really good. And they're funny. So kids usually tend to love that. I know my oldest and youngest get a kick out of it. Rocket League. Rocket League for right. sure. Depends on the difficulty between each other. But it's usually a pretty fun one to get into. And then the other one I had was that you did mention was
Dark Souls.
Everybody's Golf. Yeah, Dark Souls. Everybody's Golf. I played that at a friend's house, and it was kind of interesting. And it was just, it's a pick up and play. Like, there's a internet side of it that you don't really need to do, and you can just kind of run around single player. And I'm sure the kids would just have a blast. And they're not really into sports. It was just more about looking at the meters and stopping it when it's supposed to stop. So it's interesting that way.
Is that the one that's is that the pseudo RPG golfing one, or is that okay,
and you like gain points and you can buy clothes or whatever?
Yeah, it's kind of golf, like, geez, what I heard it once called kind of like the Stardew Valley of golf.
Oh no, that one on Switch. I would love to do that one.
Yeah, it's like an RPG golfing sim thing.
This okay, other so, one
but you're talking about like Everybody Golf is a bit more like Hotshots Golf.
Yeah, it is. Ah. It's just been renamed.
It's like, no, it is that exactly.
It is that company and that brand. They just renamed it. They felt everyone should golf and not just Hotshots.
Okay, so now you own most of those, or do you plan to? Well, I don't think your kids listen to the podcast. Hopefully not. Like, do you have any plans for buying games for the?
A couple of those are going to be planned. It's mainly for the ones because I don't have a Switch, but the 3DS ones could be possible purchases for this Christmas. So I won't say too much just in case he's listening.
Okay, that's fine. We can keep it spoiler free. We'll wait till the new year on that one. So from the parent side of thing, like if you had, and again, let's get kind of into our list of the top games of the year, but what was your list for parent games?
So I picked the ones that I've kind of experienced or played, not my wish list, because I can speak to these better, but I picked three, and I think you'll be surprised by one.
No, see, you have to say the wish list, because then really loudly. It's like, boy, yeah, it sure would be great to get this one.
Well, now I have a lot of VR games to add to that, so.
Oh, everyone, basically, yeah.
But I will definitely recommend Horizon Zero Dawn. I don't think you can go this year without getting that game. And it's a pretty steep discount right now. So that is one of the best ones, I think, that everyone should kind of pick up and play. Persona 5, I've been totally into. It's kind of a different game, Japanese.
But man, as a dad game, though?
Oh, not as a dad
game. You defend that?
I would think as a dad by himself game.
Not a dad with his
kids game. Yeah, not a dad with his kids game.
Well, even that, I just meant like with a dad's limited hours, you would still make a pitch for Persona 5?
I would say, because I've done Witcher, there's a possibility. I think you could do it.
Again, possibly for anything something. With The Witcher.
Yeah. You'd have to play it with something else, but it is a really amazing game that at least experienced that design. It's really cool. And then my last one, if you can get it on a deep discount, which it usually is, would be Final Fantasy 15. I think it's a good one to experience, even though I didn't quite like how it was pieced together. It's all kind of being patched in now. I think they're doing a better job of that, so
yeah, maybe the definitive version really is gonna be so much better.
Yeah, well, it should have came out, but those are my kind of semi picks. What about you?
Okay, what's kind of funny is I had some two that sort of lean into the kid side of thing too, although, well, at least Super Mario Odyssey, just looks like an absolute. So, and I didn't limit myself to what I actually have because I also don't have a Switch.
Yeah, but the, it looks like a blast.
Yeah, Super Mario Odyssey just seems like such a slam dunk as far as like fun, cheery, awesome Mario. Zelda Breath of the Wild. I mean, that's a console seller. Like, it's, I have debated getting the system so I can play that game. It looks so good.
Yeah.
But I just have held off. We'll hold off for a while, but like, the Super Mario Odyssey and Zelda Breath of the Wild, just like unbelievable. Horizon Zero Dawn. Haven't played it, but I don't need to understand what that game means. I'll tell you this, like, I have that queued up, but there's, I just have this feeling that I need to get through some other games, like finish up, clear the plate a little bit. Like, for instance, I'd never finished Doom.
Go back and get that one.
Right? What I'm something like 70% through. It's just, I got to see it through. I'm like, clear the plate, come at it fresh. And then it's possibly not much of a surprise if anyone's listened to the last couple episodes, but I would make a pitch for Destiny 2. It's getting a little murky right now because of the DLC, the controversy with the payments, you know, that it's a little tricky to jump in now given what's going on. But if you kind of make some sort of assumption, they take the backlash and make everything for the better. I still hold it up as something that is very sessionable, very rewarding, great feeling mechanically, and it has some of those RPG things that make it really enticing to come back to. So I would make a pitch on that one. And like, although just buyer beware given the kind of current controversies, keep your eyes open. Go in with eyes open type of thing.
Recommendation with an asterisk.
Asterisk. Beware of DLC. Beware of wallet. But all right, not a bad list. Not a bad list. And I said, I think that's kind of a nice little appetite wedding before our Game of the Year edition, which will be our next episode. Which, you know, anyone listening, if they do have any recommendations for these two lists or for Game of the Year, we would love to hear from some other dads. So definitely write in. But with that, I think that'll wrap it up for the week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. This is a podcast that we do record weekly. If you'd like to reach out to us with show ideas, questions, or anything else, if you yourself have a gaming dad victory or know someone who does, we'd love to hear about that. You can find us at our website at newdadgaming.com. We're on all social media as well, if you can find us there. The podcast itself you can find on iTunes, Google Play, and anywhere else there are podcasts. We would love a subscribe, a rating, and most importantly, a pass along to any new dad who games. Thank you so much again for listening, and until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have a 2-year-old and a 3-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a PSVR.
Oh, I was waiting for that PSVR part. You weren't going to say it. I was going to include it in because that is now your baby. Man, I'm so happy about that.
Oh, I'm happy too.
I would hope so. You're like, I am... I am amused. Jeez. And Accounting Plus just came out, which looks so funny.
It does look funny. I was looking at that too. You can pre-order it and it's pretty cheap. I'm like, oh man, there's so much. There's a whole holiday sale on.
Okay, I'll tell you this for next week. Download the demo disc 2.
Yep.
Free download and play Moss. I want to get your take on Moss.
Oh yeah, that was the one with the mouse and the
little mouse, yeah.
Third person. Okay.
But, oh, man, welcome to the club. That is fantastic.
I'm ready.
my body and spirit are ready.
Let's go. Let's do this. As soon as this is done, I'm running out of here. I'm playing some PSVR.
Yeah, it'd be a shame if the show was to
just keep going.
Run on a bit. So what's your take on the gaming industry?
What's going on?
No, man. Get out of this reality. Hop in. All right, everybody. See you next week.
See ya.